I'm amazed at how many Christians go into churches that are totally unbiblical. They don't know the Word of God, and they're being led by their flesh by deceptive, deceitful men because they don't know the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God, and we need to respond in obedience. God, through His Word, protects us.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, in our continuing look at the end times, we come to a graphic and horrible time in the Great Tribulation.
You know, Dave, we really do. And this portion of scripture that we're going to consider today reveals what awaits those on earth when the Antichrist comes into power. And never before will the earth see such evil and such influence and such power. It will be a truly horrific time. Our text is Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 31.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Just like vultures don't miss dead bodies, they always spot them. You're not going to miss His coming. You're not going to miss it. It's like lightning flashes through. You're going to see it. And we'll see in a minute, every eye will see. Don't be deceived when they say, He's over here, He's over there. Don't come out of your hiding that God is protecting you. God is protecting those Jews sovereignly to bring them into His millennial kingdom. He is protecting them. He is saving them. Don't believe them. And on another side note, brothers and sisters, this is another reason why I cannot accept misled, erroneous interpretations of some who hold to a theology that this all happened in 70 AD. It didn't happen in 70 AD. It would have been visible to everybody. It didn't happen. Christ's second coming has not happened yet, but He is coming. So in our passage, we see that God shares His word for their protection. We saw this last week. If they read the word and they understood that when they saw the abomination in the holy place, they were to get out of town, God would protect them. If they were living their own lives, having kids, whatever, they just didn't care, then they were in trouble. Woe to them! But they were to pray in advance, knowing that they were going to need to flee. And if they were paying attention, God would sovereignly protect them from Satan's wrath, as we saw in Revelation 12. And they would be protected for 3.5 years. But during that time, bad guys are going to arise and say, He's here. Don't believe it. And we see another example of where obeying God's word and knowing His word in advance protects us from evil. We need to understand that. If you don't know God's word, you are in great danger. If you are a believer and you are ignorant of truth, you're not only disobedient, you are in danger. Time sufficient has passed. We should be teachers by now. We should know it. Hebrews chapter 5. If these people did not know God's word, this warning, they would succumb to this and they would be most likely slaughtered. God is telling them, says, "Behold, I have told you in advance." God is a gracious God who loves us. Now, we're not going to be in the tribulation. This is the church age. We're not going to be in that. But yet, we have those within the church who twist and pervert His word, and we need to know it, that we would be protected. I'm amazed at how many Christians go into churches that are totally unbiblical. They don't know the word of God, and they're being led by their flesh by deceptive, deceitful men because they don't know the word of God. We need to know the word of God, and we need to respond in obedience. God, through His word, protects us. Proverbs chapter 13:13. Let's turn there. Proverbs 13:13. Proverbs are general maxims of truth that God brought forth, inspired by the Spirit through Solomon and other writers. Proverbs 13:13. Hopefully we can remember that one. The one who despises the word. Now, despise in Hebrew doesn't mean, I hate that word. No, it just means just to treat with neglect. The one who neglects the word will be in debt to it. But the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The teaching of the wise. In context, wisdom comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what Proverbs says. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. God's word protects us. We need to know his word and obey his word, that we would be not taken captive by evil men and imposters. We're not in the tribulation, but there are dangers for us in the body of Christ. And God protects us through his word. And back in this portion, for those tribulation Jewish saints, he is protecting them in advance. He says, behold, I have told you in advance. So when that time comes, they need to go to the word. This is what's happening. No. Jesus said, don't believe them. Do not go. So then Jesus commands Jewish tribulation believers who are being sovereignly protected from Satan's wrath in advance not to believe the deception that will come, those who would claim to be the Messiah, because his true second coming will be unmistakable and visible to all. And then notice he strengthens his command by revealing the true nature of this coming, this second coming. It will be immediate, it'll be visible, it'll be purposeful. Look at verse 29, back in chapter 24. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. We've read that in two passages today already, haven't we? We saw that in Isaiah. We've seen this day of the Lord. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And he says, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Notice Jesus says in contrast, but immediately after the tribulation of those days. What's the tribulation of those days? It's the Antichrist pouring out by Satan fueling him his wrath, where sin is at its highest and deception and wickedness is at its max. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, notice Christ's coming here as we make some observations, that his coming actually is immediately after the tribulation. His coming signifies the end of the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the Son of Man is going to come. You see, Jesus said through his word in the book of Daniel, that he would make an end of sin and bring in everlasting righteousness for Israel. And so immediately after this time, Christ will come physically and visibly in glory. And that signifies the end of the tribulation, immediately after the tribulation of those days. But notice what will happen. This will be unmistakable. You won't be saying, is he over here? Is he there? It will be unmistakable. Look at it. He says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. And the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All you're going to see is him. Everything will be darkened. Everything will be darkened. You're not going to miss it. Jews being protected, you're not going to miss it. He's talking about the reality of the luminaries, the sun, the star, and the moon, which, by the way, Christ holds together. Will not show their light. They will be completely dark. We saw that in the Old Testament passages concerning the day of the Lord. We see that in Acts chapter 2 when Peter says, this is what has come upon you. He's talking about that day which would come. Everybody will see him. Notice in Revelation chapter 1. Turn there with me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, behold, he is coming with the clouds. And what does he say? And every eye will see him. Is he? Now, there's people that speculate, okay, we all have smartphones and everybody will have their phones and I'm seeing him coming. That's not what's going on. God, the sovereign God of the universe, is coming. He is God. And he says, every eye will see him. He is coming. And notice what it says. And those who pierced him, that's the Jews, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Now, we're going to see later on that whenever you see in Jewish portions, like Matthew is Jewish, you see in Revelation this portion, you look back in the Old Testament, the term earth can be translated the land. All the tribes of the land are going to mourn. You're going to see in Scripture, not everybody mourns over Christ's coming. People are mad at him and they want to take him on, as we'll see in Revelation 19. But the Jews are going to mourn. Those who pierced him will see that. Don't believe the bad guys that Christ has already come. It's deception to pull you out of God's protection. Christ's coming will be unmistakable. There will be cataclysmic signs in the heavens. God will cause the lights to dim, and everyone's going to see him when he comes in this tribulation time. We will be with him. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we will be taken out. But in this tribulation, everyone will see. And yet, don't miss this. He will use it for his kingdom purposes. He's going to save Israel. Back to Matthew 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth, and I believe that you can translate that land, haaretz, you can translate it land, will mourn as they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. All the tribes of the earth will mourn of the tribes of the land. I believe he's speaking of Israel. Everyone will see, but those who pierced him are going to mourn. We saw it in Revelation chapter 1. These Jews pierced the Messiah. It was the Jews who delivered him up by the hands of godless men, Acts chapter 2. He's coming on the clouds, every eye will see. And those who pierced him, they're going to mourn. But not everyone's going to mourn when Christ comes. The tragic reality, those who are in their wicked sin will not mourn. They'll try to take on Christ. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. It's amazing to think of how hardened anyone can be. That Christ comes visibly, and in their hardness of heart, they want to take him on. It's unbelievable, but yet it's believable if you recognize that we are sinners. And apart from Christ opening our eyes, we are hardened in sin. Revelation 19, verse 11. John is speaking here. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. That's Christ. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. That's Christ. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him. He's coming, they're following, on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword so that he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron as he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come assemble for the great supper of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and all those who sit upon them, and the flesh of men, both free men and slaves, small and great. Verse 19, and I saw the beast, and that's the Antichrist, and the kings of earth and their armies assembled to make war against who? Against him. It's the height of hardness, who sat upon the horse and against his army. There's not even a war going to happen here, by the way. It's a one-sided battle. And the beast was seized, and with the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone, and the rest, this is in Armageddon, the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and the birds were filled with their flesh. There are those who will not mourn over Christ. They will try to battle with him, and Christ will slay them. We see this in Zechariah 14. You can read that on your own time, Zechariah 14, where Christ comes and plants his feet in the Mount of Olives. But within this passage, there is a marvelous reality that we see as we finish here. That as Jesus comes back, Israel is convicted of their sin. Let me share a few passages. Zechariah 13. Turn with me to Zechariah 13. We need to understand this. Zechariah 13, verse 8. This is speaking of Israel in this tribulation time. Remember, Satan's going to have his fury towards them. They're going to get slaughtered. Zechariah 13:8, and it will come about that all in the land, that the term the land, that speaks of Israel, declares the Lord, two parts of it will be cut off and perish, but a third will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. God in his word predicts that Israel, when Christ comes back, is going to be convicted of their sin, and he, God, is going to save them at that point. Not all Israel of all time, but all Israel at that time. Jeremiah 30, verse 3. For behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah, the Lord says, and I will bring them back into the land that I gave their forefathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Jeremiah 30, verse 5. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now and see if a male can give birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? And why have all the faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great. He's speaking of the day of the Lord. He says, there is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's distress or Jacob's trouble. But look at what he says. But he, speaking of Israel, Jacob, will be saved from it. And it shall come about on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off his neck. I will tear off the bonds, and the strangers shall no longer make them their slaves, but they shall serve the Lord their God. And David, that's speaking of Christ on David's throne, their king, and I will raise up for them. And you could go to Jeremiah 31. We see the new covenant applies to them. But let's go one last passage, Romans chapter 11. And you could read the entire passage of Romans 11 because some would say, hey, Israel is out and the church is in. Israel failed and the church is in. When someone says that, they are misinterpreting Scripture. And I wouldn't believe anyone when they do that. They may have a sound doctrine concerning Christ, but they're off on a major portion of Scripture. I don't listen to anyone's teaching who has that type of theology, because they're majorly making mistakes. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Paul says, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed, really ignorant of the mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation. That's those guys that don't get it. That a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And thus, all Israel will be, what does it say? Saved. All Israel of that time will be saved, just as is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. Who is that? That's Christ coming. And he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. These are terms for Israel. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they're enemies. Hey, the Jews right now don't believe the gospel. They're enemies. For your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gifts and calling are irrevocable. God is going to do what he said. He promised to save them. If someone says they're not going to be there, that the church has replaced them, they're wrong. They are impugning God's faithfulness. That's why I won't listen to anyone who teaches that way. For the gifts and calling are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, that's Israel, so also these have been disobedient in order that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience that he might show mercy to all. And you can go to Ezekiel 36 and read that on your own time. But we see that the Lord says he'll sprinkle clean water on them. He will cleanse them from the filthiness of their idols. He will give them a new heart, Ezekiel 36, and put a new spirit and remove the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. God will save Israel. They will see him whom they pierced. They will mourn. And he will save them from their sins because they will believe in Christ that he did die for their sins. They will be saved. God is faithful to his promises. And verse 31, and he will send forth his angels, the great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. Don't worry if you're in the wilderness mountains. God's going to bring you over. Don't go to see Christ. He's coming. He'll gather you. I believe he's speaking of all believers. As we'll see later on in chapter 25, whether Jew or Gentile, God will gather them. There will be a separation of the sheep and the goats, chapter 25. And after those who have rejected Christ are waiting their eternal punishment, we will have his millennial kingdom on earth with all those here who made it through the tribulation. So then, we have much information about the end of this evil age and the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came once in grace. He came once, not in relationship to judgment. He came to die for our sins. Today is the day of salvation. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He died for our sins. And he will judge the world, as we sang earlier, as we've seen here. If you don't trust in Christ, you are in your sins. You will die in your sins, and the holy God will punish you forever for every sin you've ever committed, thought or done. But Jesus paid the price. He bore the penalty on the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the price. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, God took on human flesh and paid the price that we deserve to pay. And death could not hold him. He rose from the dead. And he says in his word, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You turn from your sin. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. I'm a sinful child. I've sinned against you, Lord God. Everything I've done is wrong. It's wrong. I turn to you for salvation. Christ will save you if you call upon him in faith. But there will be a time when he comes again. And for those on the earth, apart from the Jews in whom he will save, those who will survive, this time will be a horrifying time. It'll be a time of judgment from the living God, where he will exterminate sinners. But yet, even in the midst of that, he is faithful to his promises. He will save Israel. He is a faithful God. We've seen today that Jesus is warning Jewish tribulation saints not to believe the deception. They've heard it in advance. And brother and sister, we have so many warnings in Scripture concerning those who would try to deceive us. We've been warned in advance. We need to be in the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. God wants to protect us from those things. And when we are naive and we are taken captive, it's not his fault, it's our fault. And if we have been taken captive, we need to confess it and turn to Christ. The world's not getting better. It's getting worse. And God hasn't missed a beat. And he will judge. And he calls upon you to drink from the water of life without cost. But if you reject Christ, you will be judged. You will experience his fierce wrath. I pray that you turn from your sins and you believe in Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son Jesus Christ for salvation. that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our New Believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your New Believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.